Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good.
What would you do if I say, you know, I really feel lousy?
Start crying.
And you'd say, get out there and exercise. You do better when you get your exercise in.
Exactly.
Anyway, I feel well. I try to deal with the health of the economy and the health of our country. Then I think the health of the country is not doing as well as my health. So there are a few problems out there, but we're trying to attend to those problems. And today we wanted to talk about masks, not Halloween masks, but in a way it is a Halloween mask because they're hiding from something.
Yeah.
Hiding from something and try to convey something that isn't true. But of course, it has to do with these masks that everybody's compelled to wear. And so far, and we'll be talking about it, there's no proof they do any good. And there's maybe some danger that they do harm. My goodness, what are they going to do then? But this, the one we're going to start out with one, this is outrageous, you know, because I believe it's very possible. So it's sort of strange, but things that have never been done before. Putting masks on everybody, putting masks on the elderly, putting masks on little kids and babies that you see, and they're putting them on. It's horrible. But here's a headline that caught our attention. It says, masked mouth is a seriously stinking side effect to masks.
Yeah.
They put them on, and you know, we've talked about the mask impeding the flow of oxygen and CO2. It retains CO2, hypercapnia, and then hypoxia. And they measure that. And there's been some shown where it's abnormal. So all of a sudden, there's some of these people coming into their dentist. I have this mouth odor that I can't get rid of. There's something wrong here. I have a bad tooth or something. And here it turns out it looks like they're going to, you know, people who wear masks tend to get what they're talking about, and it's new and different. So that's just another side effect, bad news, but you can't believe that that change can be healthy because, of course, they find out that the gums aren't doing as well. And it's not protecting them from anything because the people who don't use masks don't have a serious effect of the illness anyway as much as the people who use the mask. But anyway, this is a messy thing. It's sort of the kind of thing that, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, how many people sat around and said, oh, you shouldn't do it? We've not gone through this. How many other things are going to come up when the statistics come in? And we have found that there's this tendency when people are on the defensive, they tend to try to hide the facts. And I think that's a little bit of that going on right now, too.
It's really concerning because, you know, and actually, let's look at the next clip. This is from the New York Post, did an article about this. This is, listen to what they're saying, the new oral hygiene issue caused by, you guessed it, wearing a mask all the time to prevent the spread of coronavirus is leading to all kinds of dental disorders like decaying teeth, receding gums, and seriously sour breath. Yuck. Well, Dr. Rob Raimondi, he's a co-founder of One Manhattan Dental, he was the one interviewed for this article. He said 50% of the patients he's seeing have been impacted by this, and he named it mask mouth. It's kind of like they have meth mouth for the people that use that drug. Right. It ruins their teeth. And he points out that, you know, getting gum disease like this, it's not just that you have problems with your teeth because it causes, it can lead to stroke and heart attack and other serious health disorders. And he describes what's happening. The people that are wearing a mask all the time, they have a buildup in bacteria in their mouth because, A, they tend to breathe through their mouth and it gets drier and reduces it increases the bacteria in their mouth. They breathe through the mouth. They drink less water because they have a mask on all the time. And so this is leading to all sorts of problems that are unpleasant, of course, in public, but also potentially very serious health risks that nobody thought about when telling everyone that you had to wear a mask.
Well, we've talked about the statistics and the data that's collected always to serve somebody's interest, the people who want to terrorize the nation and put fear into everybody's hearts so that everybody will obey and support getting rid of hydroxychloroquine and promoting, you know, vaccines, that sort of thing. But in Kansas, somebody got caught doing it.
Yeah.
it was the Department of Health and Education got caught doing it. And guess what? It's hard to believe because I'm a nonpartisan, but it just happened to be a Democrat that did that. And the people who were trying to stop it happened to be in the opposition party. But there they go once again. But I suspect, as you have mentioned at times, that maybe there's going to be a lot more of this because they become desperate. You know, they have to have a new demon. That's why they've already talked about the next virus.
Yeah.
You know, this is not going to go away. And this is why, even though there's so much proof out here, there that these masks aren't worthwhile and they're so debilitating, that they're not going to stop. You know, one thing that really bugs me a little bit, it's sort of a shame because it's people who are disgusted and trying to make a little fun, enjoy something that is distasteful. And, you know, doing all this ornament stuff and playing games with it, because it ought to be seen as something very, very bad, especially when we're getting evidence now that it's not effective. It doesn't help. It causes now a problem in the mouth too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so obviously patients who are marginal, people who have, I guess somebody with asthma or other kind of lung disease shouldn't be on these things at all because it cuts down on the oxygen. But this is Kansas City, and it doesn't sound like the most important thing in the world, but if they're doing it, other people are doing it, and we've suspected the data is not trustworthy anyway. And that's one thing that I think we're winning. I think a lot of people now who that were not into this are saying, you know, you can't trust what they say.
Yeah, yeah, which is good. Don't trust government. But this is a big scandal, and it should be a bigger scandal, but the media won't cover it. Lee Norman is his name, and he's the secretary for Kansas's Department of Health. What he did basically is he put up a fake chart. He faked a chart. There was two lines. There are some counties in Kansas that require masks and others that do not. The majority does not. He put up a chart, but he changed the axis. The axis was from 15 to 25 to show the cases in masked counties and from 4 to 14 to show new cases in non-masked counties. And it gave the false appearance that counties without a mask mandate were having more cases. And he was caught on it. He was busted on it. And then when they put those two lines on the same axis, it actually showed that there were fewer cases of coronavirus, of COVID, in counties without the mask mandate. And so that's why he had to fake it. And here's what he said. All of the improvements in case development comes from those counties wearing masks. Well, the opposite is true. And he got busted doing it. And you got to wonder, how often is this repeated throughout the country? They're losing their narrative, and when they're losing the narrative, they're just simply bald-faced lying about it.
Well, you know, there was a meeting just recently with some top epidemiologists, and they, excuse me again, they were dealing with Denmark.
Yeah.
And they were doing the same type of distortion, or at least they had some good results, and Denmark reported it. But then you had to attack the messenger.
Yeah.
So they were getting a lot of grief, and this is why these epidemiologists that were respected came out, and they did get, maybe there's more freedom of press over there than here, because the other countries that go along with this, we've talked about Sweden, you know, they've been able to go independently. And what about Finland and Holland? They have done this as well. So, and they definitely have statistics to show that the masks aren't helpful at all. And along with these stories that they can do harm, it just seems so strange that they are bound and determined. They cannot come around to admitting maybe they made a mistake or maybe they don't want to be caught, but it looks like more people are going to get caught.
Yeah, and that was a good article. World's top epidemiologists agreed that masks don't work. And it was a good article. We saw it on Zero Hedge. And it does point out that in Denmark, the numbers are very low, and people don't wear masks. And we know that, as you say, recently in Holland and in Sweden, the government said, we're not going to mandate masks. There's no evidence that they work, and so we're not going to do it. But again, you won't see this on the mainstream media, which is only pushing a single narrative. And that narrative is wear your mask. And you got to wonder if it's messing up your health, messing up your teeth, doing all sorts of terrible things to people, then why do it if it's not about the virus? And I think, and you, I'm sure you would say too, it's about control. It's about a psychological, you know, if you talk
right.
to someone with a mask on, you can't see what their expression is. They're like a zombie. You can't tell if they're happy or sad or mad. I can't even understand people. Maybe my hearing's going.
Right.
But if they've got a mask on, I can't understand. I think that's what they want. They want us all walking around like zombies with our faces covered.
Well, I'm sure our president would wish Fauci would just go away.
Yeah.
But he's still around.
He's not alone. A lot of us wish he'd go away.
This to get a lot of Americans to understand. Whoever heard of the guy before 6 months ago?
Yeah.
It's probably not very many. But he's in the news again giving his opinion about the vaccines. And he hasn't given up, but he's now the academician and, you know, the thoughtful person and the professor. So he says, well, we need it. We got to get it. But so far, it looks like the one that's most likely to come out might be good for 50% of the people. And then, of course, we mentioned the other day that Gates said, well, if it doesn't work the first time, you give it again or again. And you just keep piling it in there and obviously not knowing what they're doing. But he was in the news. But he's been on both sides of the mask issue, you know, over the years. Right now, I think the most recent thing he said was, masks aren't the super answer to this. Vaccines that don't work. So which way are they going? But he's going to be around for a while. I guess he should be able to retire pretty soon, but not this week, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's how confident should people be when he says, well, you know, you can flip a coin. Basically, that's as good as the vaccine is going to be. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. We don't know. Just get it and get it again. But I think one of the reasons they're backing off, and we have talked about this before, I think they're backing off because if the vaccine comes out as a magic bullet, a silver bullet that completely defeats COVID, then what are all these little dictators going to do around the country? You may say that they may find another virus. That could be the case. But they're on the warpath. They want digital passports. They want contact tracing. There's a lot of money to be made in contact tracing. They want to be able to track everyone. They want to, and you wrote about this today, they want to be able to have a unique health identifier with people that will contain all this information. And if the vaccine comes and it's the best thing since sliced bread, people are going to be skeptical about contact tracing. So it's again trying to control the narrative on this.
You know, we have frequently mentioned that when events like this happen, there's a lot of latent dictators lying around. They're not so latent anymore. They're coming alive because they're permitted to do it. And this whole principle of executive orders, and it started from the top and worked down, executive orders. But I did see a statistic today, as much as I complain about executive orders, even with Trump, he's low on the list compared to the last two Democrats. they actually issued a lot more. But anyway, that's a question. But here's a Metro Nashville City Council member, and she has an opinion about this. It's a pretty strong opinion about masks. You know, she wants to protect the people. That's her job.
Yeah.
And she wants to run things. I think she's thinking about her own her own ego. But City Council member wants people not wearing a mask to be charged with murder or attempted murder. This has to be a mistake.
Yeah.
Did we check this out? Well, I'm reading it from the Tennessee Star.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That to me is so outrageous. But it also, when you hear this coming from officials, it also explains why we run into these incidents where individuals actually think, you know, that's when they get violent. Get out of here, get out of here, and throw and, you know, threaten life and do injury because you're spreading this disease like it, you know, going to jump out and you're going to die in a week. And always on fake news and fake fear. But here it is, a city councilwoman, and she's saying, but so she's putting it into words and saying that's how serious this is. And that is so far gone. Fortunately, I hope we haven't gone that far. That's not going to happen. I don't think they're going to pass it. But it also tells you better be aware, because sometimes when you think that couldn't happen, it does.
It also tells you how dumb these people are, too. Just plain dumb. But it is very dangerous. People are, every time you see an attack on someone not wearing a mask, they'll always say, you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me. So they have this in their mind that somehow there's a killer virus out there. There was a recent poll. They asked Americans, what percentage do you think of the country has died from COVID? And the answer was 9%. Americans have the idea that 9% of the population that's died, which would be millions and millions of people, when in fact it's a fraction, a small fraction of 1% that's died. But her name is Sharon Hurt. She's the at-large council member for Nashville metro area. And she wants stronger laws. And she said they should be charged with murder or attempted murder if they go outside without a mask. And here's her rationale. The person who may very well pass this virus that's out there, or because they're not wearing a mask, is basically murdering someone who contracts it and dies. Her colleagues reminded her that new criminal law does have to be passed by the state, and she was, quote, disappointed over this. She said, I was afraid that was going to be the answer. So meanwhile, they're letting people out of jails. I'm sure you saw this horrible story over the weekend that they let this rapist out of jail because of COVID. He went and found the woman who accused him and killed her. You know, so you're letting people like this out of jail. And this crazy woman from Tennessee, we got to call Kane up and see what's going on down there. She wants to put people in jail for not putting a mask on.
Well, they're letting, you know, some prisoners out of jail. There's some we would let out because it's victimless crimes and dealing with irrational drug laws. But they're letting a lot of violent criminals out of prisons in New York. At the same time, they defund the police.
Yeah.
And they you know, crime's going up. What's going on here?
Shocking.
What is going on? So, okay, there's another item here that I'd like to talk about for a little bit. This is sort of entertaining.
Good news story.
This is good. This is about our friendly governor in South Dakota, because she said she would and she did. And she invited people. I hope they keep doing that. I hope maybe we can have our next conference in South Dakota so people could come and they wouldn't lock us down. But anyway, she said for the motorcyclists, come. Yeah. Motorcyclists, they're fascinating. Even if you don't ride one, they're sort of fascinating. And they seem to be having fun.
Yeah.
They like to gun their engines. And there used to be several crowds, groups of those, that when I was doing my national campaign, all of a sudden, it's just a ride.
Yeah.
And they were having fun. So evidently they have an annual rally up there with motorcyclists. And they get a lot of people. And, of course, the country's going nuts. You can't do it this year. So, anyway, she still had it. 250,000 people came. And one person who wanted to be a moderate, he said, well, I think when you're on a bike and you're out there riding, enjoying the scenery, and not too close to anybody, I think that sounds good. But what are you going to do in the evening? Are you guys going to get together?
What are you going to do?
You're going to have fun at night? Are you going to have a party? That was too much. So, but anyway, it worked out well, and I think the governor wins on this, and who knows what her political career will be like in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
if she sticks to her guns, there should be an audience out there for her.
Yeah, I can think of some people in 2024. She's one of them for sure. We have an article, Adam from the RPI wrote a piece on our front page about this rally. He wrote it on Friday. But as you say, 250,000 people. Kristi Noem was completely supporting this rally. It's an annual rally. No masks, no crowd restrictions in South Dakota. And you think, oh my gosh, it must be a nightmare. Bodies in the streets. No, they've got fewer than 2 deaths a day up there. And they haven't done anything. It's just like in Sweden, just like places like Belarus that had no restrictions. The deaths are very, very low. And that's why they just won't talk about it. They just won't talk about it. And when they actually do have someone to talk about it, let's look at this next one. They bring some dingling up on CNN. They'll find some doctor somewhere. This has the potential of being a super spreader event. Well, thankfully, all the Black Lives Matter and Antifa rallies and riots and burnings, they don't have any possibility of being super spreaders.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And I think there were a lot of people rooting against the governor and against South Dakota. But in many ways, if something had happened, if they could ever prove, you know, that somebody there did get it, which is always possible, or what if there had been some violent activity? See, these people are crazy. There was violence up there. But you're more likely, I would bet, this is a real risky bet, that in some of our inner cities, like San Francisco and other, you're more likely to see violence in the inner city than you will with these bicycle riders.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, they frequently would come to my rallies.
Oh, yeah.
And I, it wasn't like we went out and found them. It was just like they just enjoyed having a rally. And but I think bicyclists tend to have a libertarian spirit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Even though I imagine they have organizations and all, but we always had a good time when they came. They made a lot of noise
they
and
did,
drew
yeah.
attention to it.
Well, the open road, you know, everyone yeah. you know enjoys that. I more power to them. But I was going to move toward closing, and I will remind our viewers that we'll run our super chat people and thank them again for their support last week. When we finish, we'll roll those names of people that have supported us this week. But I wanted to bring up something else, Dr. Paul, because I think our theme today really is that they are faking the data as the narrative slips, and they really are. And Houston is a great example, and there are a few people that the Institute follows on Twitter that are really good with the numbers crunching them. Let's put up this next chart because I think this tells everything. The blue bars are deaths per day in Texas. And you would look at that the 6th, 7th, and 8th of August. There are virtually no deaths in Texas. And you'd say, that's crazy because I look at the worldometer and it shows that deaths are skyrocketing. They're high in Texas. There's hundreds and some people. Well, this is the date of death chart. These are people who died on that day. The reason that it looks like Texas is still having a lot of problem with COVID is because they're doing legacy laundering. Let's look at this next chart. This is the real untold story. These are the reported deaths on the 9th of August. And next to it, you'll see the date of actual death. Going back to May 4th, many of those deaths are more than 2 weeks old. So they're stacking old deaths onto the actual day of death in Texas and making it look much worse than it is. There are virtually very, very little death at all. And that's why I think they're getting nervous, because also the cases are falling down. Here's something that Houston is putting out. Let's look at that next clip. This is what they're trying to do to try to pump these up. This is a tweet from the Houston Health Department. Looks all happy, like it might be a party or some sort of affair. No. Free COVID-19 mega testing sites. Come on down, get tested. 5 free testing sites and 15 other sites this week. And it tells you everywhere you can go to get your free test and all those wonderful logos and things. Make it look like an actual fun thing, because they're not getting the cases that they want. And here's why. Let's look at the last one. We're seeing the new daily deaths in the U.S. And this is the real story of COVID. We had a big peak in April. We had a very small peak in July, and a lot of that was cooked, as we've talked about. And it looks very, very much like that peak is over, that second peak, which was driven by the Sun Belt states because we just got it later. And that's just how viruses work, virus gone a virus. So they're cooking the books. It's very, very phony what they're doing, and they seem like they can get away with it. So keep your eye out. Watch the numbers, follow people who are crunching the numbers in a more intelligent way. And again, thank you to our Super Chat people that help support the show. And please continue doing so, Dr. Paul.
I want to remind our viewers that, you know, definitions are important. And when they talk about cases soaring, cases are a positive test. It's not that they've gotten the virus. It's not that they got sick. It's not that they died from it. They just became positive. They're benefiting the community because it's part of herd immunity, and that's the way it works. So, but they're out looking for more to support their statistics. What we've mentioned before is, what if they do go out and get a million new cases that people not see? What it does, it takes percentages and makes even the things that they were trying to say, oh, look how many people was in intensive care and all. Those numbers go down. The percentages go down. So their games they play don't always work out the way they want. I want to talk a little bit about the budget debate going on right now. Another $1 trillion. Republicans, they'll be happy with a trillion. Democrats aren't happy. And it looks like, you know, things were going too slowly, and we need the money for the coronavirus. So Trump took care of that executive order. We'll just pass out this money. And then there's the big constitutional argument about well, can he do that? Well, all presidents do that. Who paid any attention to the Constitution? The Democrats are in a dilemma right now because they don't know what to do. We have to hate what Trump did, you know. So, but they are sort of trapped because then they have to be against extending the benefits like Trump did. But he also it's pointed out what's going on here. The debate is. It's an old tradition. Republicans tend to have maybe a little closer relationship with the military-industrial complex. At least that image is out there. So they argue for more money. And in this bill, since it's up to $1 trillion, there's a lot of money there to go around. You'd think they wouldn't be arguing too much. But they got $29 billion into the DOD budget. And but seven of it is just for new weapons. New weapons, and just think, I guess we have, we've talked about these numbers before, the percentage, of how many countries you need to catch up on the amount of military spending to catch up with us. But anyway, they see it a chance. But you say, oh, aren't those Republicans horrible? But then the rest of the budget, you know, is all welfareism, where they get, a lot of it they get together. As a matter of fact, the Democrats won't vote against the military budget anyway. That's sort of, you know, appeasing their base. So anyway, but they're doing it, though, and that's why we have to be cautious. They're doing it for the benefit of national security. So we don't want to say this is bad, because then we don't care about our country. You know, it's just terrible. So that's why, generally speaking, I think that this will all be concluded when some day comes along. The people are going to wake up. The market's going to wake up. The country's going to wake up. Sanity will get a tinge of sanity, and they'll say, you know, this can't go on. And you know, things that can't go on usually don't. And so the virus can't go on forever. Nature helps us on that, and the budget can't go on forever, even though it's been going on for a long time. But economically speaking, it just can't continue to go on. And the longer it lasts, the more liberty we lose. And of course, that's the biggest threat that we have now, is what has happened, whether it was on 9/11 and the Patriot Act, or whether it's what's going on now with coronavirus and all this surveillance and all the passports that they're planning for us. So we need to be on our toes, and the answer to all this is getting more supporters. Is it a prevailing attitude that makes the difference? When the prevailing attitude of a country is such that they're sick and tired of authoritarianism, they do like they did in the Soviet system. Soviet system just disappeared. And ours is going to disappear in its format because, you know, people are going to reject it because it will be inefficient. And it's also, something that they just can't continue forever and ever. But it's going to continue, though, with a lot of heartache, and we will complete and continue to report on these issues the best we can, so that when that real burst comes in our breakdown in our economy and all, that we have the support and to emphasize what can be done, because it is not complicated, and it's so wonderful if we would just do a few things. We could solve these problems even under these worst of conditions. But what are the odds of that happening with the clowns that we have up there? Ain't going to happen. So it has to happen with the people. The people have to wake up. And what we sense, Daniel and I both agree, that we're sensing that there is a shift in attitude on this coronavirus, in spite of the ridiculous things. You're going to be charged with murder if you're going out with a mask on. No, I think people are more sensible than that, and they just sort of go to sleep and go along and not realize, some of our leaders at CDC aren't really our friends. So we'll continue our effort, and we want to thank our viewers very much for tuning in and helping us to spread the message of liberty. Come back soon.